This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, spring has sprung, and the less time you spend in the kitchen, the better. That's why some of HelloFresh's delicious restaurant-quality meals come together in just 20 minutes. Get 16 free meals plus 3 free gifts with code BANTER16 at HelloFresh.com/banter. That's HelloFresh.com/banter16. Now enjoy the show.
Now on to enjoying the show.
You're going to love it.
Dynamic banter. Mike and Steve are gonna do bits and have some fun. Dynamic banter. Honking horns and ringing bells and making good. Dynamic banter. Don't forget the history roads on Dynamic Banter.
The ukulele is an instrument. Got 6 strings. Wait, is it 4? Yeah, 4 strings. Ukulele got 4 strings. The ukulele is an easy instrument to play because it's only got 4 strings.
Like half the work of a guitar.
Half the work of a guitar. Half the work of a guitar.
Half the work, work.
Cut the working off. If you've got a guitar, cut the working off. Now you've got a ukulele.
Cut the work.
If you've got guitar, cut the work in half. Now you've got a ukulele.
Ukulele, right.
Ukulele, easy to play. Only 4 strings, easy to play.
Ukulele.
Ukulele.
Ukulele
is easy to play. All you gotta do is strum them 4 strings.
Ukulele.
It's not as hard to learn to play the ukulele. There's only 4 strings.
There's only 4 strings.
Only 4 strings.
On a ukulele.
On a ukulele. 1. That's 1 string. 2. That's 2 strings. 3. That's 3 strings. 4.
4 strings.
Hey guys, welcome to Dynamic Banter. How you doing, Mike?
I can never remember how to change the beat on this thing.
Oh, we gotta change it. It's a good beat.
Sometimes you change it though.
Sometimes when you cry,
the honesty's too much.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the show, Mike.
Yeah.
You okay? Talking to that mic right now.
Yeah. What's up, man?
Is that it's fucking What's his name? Who's the guy we used to have on the show?
See, his name is
Seasoner.
Cecil.
Seasoning. What's his name? Cecil.
Seasoner. Seasonal.
Guys, seasonal depression is here.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys.
I don't know. What happened to my Budweiser song?
Everything got all switched around.
Wow. I don't have it anymore. Scandy and Diddin during.
It's just not the same.
It's not. I know. We're all bungling. It's the beginning of the show. We're already bungling it. Yeah. Guys, how y'all doing? Mike's over there. He's trying to. Listen, this show is multifaceted, multimedia. This show is a multimedia showcase. A multifaceted, multimedia showcase.
Yes. And you might say, why don't you guys do this before?
Talking to a mic, would you, Mike?
I am.
I'd love to hear your voice.
You might say, why didn't you guys do this beforehand?
Because you know why we don't do it beforehand?
Why didn't you do it?
Because sometimes when you've been doing this for years, and Mike, we've been doing this for years. Sometimes when you've been doing shit like this for years, you kind of just know, you get a feeling when you should hit that record button.
It's a vibe thing.
I'll tell you. The record button is just as much a guest or a co-host on the show as we are.
There are three hosts on this show, and it's me, and it's Steve, and it's the cord button.
Cord. We call him Cord. We call him Cord. Cordney.
James Cord button.
James Corden. The cord button. The record button. We call him Corden.
Can't say that.
Corden Ramsey.
Corden. Recording Ramsey.
Ramsey. It was kind of funny. But, you know, sometimes we miss some good bits before you hit the record button.
Yeah,
the record button.
You get a lot of bad ones. And that's the roll of the dice.
And I'd love to hear you when you say those things, Mike. And I'll tell you this.
I feel like they can't hear anything I'm saying.
I'm telling you, it's so. I can't. These mics. I was just talking.
This is as much of a joke as putting your mouth inside the microphone.
Now I love to hear you.
Far away voice.
I just want to hear your beautiful voice.
Listen, we have different senses of humor. Mine is far away voice, and yours is inside the microphone.
You could be far away, but I think the audience wants to hear you crisp and clean, Mike.
I don't give a fuck what these people want. I'm back at the goat. See, now I can't fucking be over here and figure it out because now I gotta worry about
this
shit.
I know, I know. Dude, can I talk? So.
It's almost like we shouldn't have pressed record.
Dude, Jesse Stillwell.
Heard of him?
Made a suggestion the other day that blew my fucking mind, Michael.
What did he say? Quit?
He says he quits.
Quit. Why would he quit?
he's not even on the payroll.
No.
He told me he quit.
Oh, damn.
No, so I was like, so, okay. Mike, I don't know if you know this, but Coachella just ended.
Okay. That's Rich Kid Met Gala in the
desert.
That's
the one. And I didn't give a shit. But Danny Elfman.
Oh.
May I as well?
Yeah. You changed the beat on this.
Is that a fucking Bauhaus? Is it like, Bella Lugosi, he's dead?
It's definitely something that used to be something else.
So I didn't give a fuck about Coachella until I heard that Danny Elfman was going to be performing. And this is something that has been happening for a while. It's been on the roster.
Yeah.
And I watched his performance. And he was incredible, dude. He's like 65 years old.
What does he play?
He does rock and roll music. He did like, he did some old Oingo Boingo stuff.
And here they are. We have them live in studio.
They're in the studio.
Dropping anvils.
Yeah. He did his score stuff. So in between songs.
And he fought a big cartoon boxer. That's a cat dressed up like a boxer.
He got punched a few times.
Damn, dude. Well, we got to stop these artists from getting attacked.
I know, man. It's insane. It needs to stop. Yeah. But he did, like, dude, because Danny Elfman did, like, the Simpsons theme. Mm. You've heard it.
Yeah.
And, like, Batman.
Da-da-da-da-da.
The original Batman music. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Bom, 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 bom. Bom, 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 bom. Ba-da-da-da-da.
And that was a little Danny Elfman.
So he would do like a boingo song, and then he'd do like a score thing, and he had like an orchestra there, and then he wrote an album during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we all?
Didn't we all? And it was the first time he had done rock and roll music since like forever. He gave up rock and roll to be a composer full time and did a bunch of movies and Marvel things and Disney things and whatever.
One of the coolest kind of posers you could be.
Absolutely, dude. And so he announced he was going to do the Coachella thing and said he was going to mix in all this stuff. And then the pandemic happened. And lo and behold, Michael, the man wrote a fucking album and it's really good. It's cool shit. I love his music.
What's it sound like? Phoebe Bridges?
You want to hear a little bit of it?
Mm.
Sounds like this.
Not bad.
And
is that like somebody fucking forgot to turn off their music when they pulled into the parking lot?
Like, oh shit, dad's home.
I'll be right there.
So anyway, I was listening to his live performance, dude. and he was like singing into his mic and he sounded great. And then he would look down at his guitar and his voice would disappear completely. And then he'd come back to the mic and he'd sound so fucking good and crisp. And then he'd look down at his guitar and you couldn't hear his fucking voice. Uh-huh. And I was like, what the fuck, man? Yeah. What? That's insane.
Also, that's why you got so mad at me before. You were putting your own experience on me.
No. Okay. It just reminded me that I was like bummed out. I was like, why would you put a mic like that on someone who is like flying all over the fucking microphone?
Well, you want the artist to feel what the artist is feeling.
Totally. And yeah. I get it. Maybe it was his decision, maybe not. But I just, it sounded bad because you love these songs, you're hearing him sing it, and it would be like somebody wants.
That's okay.
Tool
that's
in actually, the shit.
That's actually okay if somebody's singing that song.
But it's like, but you know, imagine like a song and you're like, and it's like
that
pieces.
You wanna hit. Yeah, I
yeah it's like you're hearing pieces of it. So I was like, look, if that was what they wanted, weird, but I get it. Sure, art is subjective, whatever. Music
no, I'm
is.
I'm sure they, that's just a live performance thing. You fucking move around, you moved around.
Right, but you'd think if you were going to have art, like I know there are directional microphones.
Or maybe you couldn't hit the note. And he had to back away.
And maybe. There's a bunch of different reasons.
I used
but
to do that.
I'll tell you this. If you're trying to, like, you know, you can back up over here to do a high note and it's not so bad. Mm. And then, you know, come back over here for your lows or
explain
wherever you're confident.
Explain to me how
and
microphones
shit.
Work.
You know, it's not for you, Mike. It's for our audience. And listen, okay. But the point I'm trying to make was I was talking to Jesse about this and I was like, because we were talking about the Danny Elfman performance. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I was really bummed out about how that mic was just like, it wasn't directional.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was like, you know, whatever they call those mics that are just straight on like that.
Sure.
And Jesse was like, and I was like, oh man, you know what? It's kind of like on DB a little bit. Like sometimes I'll move away and I'll have to adjust the stuff in post and then I'll come back and it's crisp and clean. And that's why the audio levels are all over the place.
Yeah.
Because it's like sometimes we're this loud and I got to adjust. And sometimes we're over here and I got to adjust that and make it as loud as this was. So the audience is like, maybe doesn't understand that. But from a production perspective, that's what's going on in post.
Okay.
So that we can kind of regulate the show. And Jesse was like, you guys should fucking put a microphone in the middle of the fucking, like a really expensive, good microphone, like in the middle of the desk that captures you guys like perfectly in all directions.
That would
and
only
then
be
we
good
can...
if the walls were deadened. Because if not, it would sound roomy and bouncy as fuck.
I mean, whatever, but there's some way to capture us off mic, on mic, whatever, and still bring in the stuff where we come in real close to get into your BB's ears. So we, and I was like, fuck, if there was something like that at the Elfman show, you know, maybe they could have done whatever. But with live music, it's hard because, and especially with an orchestra too, because the orchestra music might flood into the mics, and that might be another reason why they were not doing directional mics on the lead singer. But I was thinking, what a game-changing thing it would be to be able to, like, you know, because even we miss things sometimes when we're off the mic a little bit. But
do you have any good examples?
Yeah, there was this one time where you said a really racist thing.
So not being on the mic saved my career.
Saved your career, yeah. So maybe that's a good excuse against it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it just made me think of that because I wanted to... I'm just greedy. I want to hear your voice.
I just think it's funny that you're the one being like, the sound has to be perfect when all you do is fucking throw up, burp, and scream into the microphone.
I just don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss a thing like the guy from the Aerosmith song.
For and that, and I understand that reference.
Remember that one?
But if I'm over here trying to be like, maybe we don't have the reggae beat and maybe... Maybe we change the beat because changing the beat the other week to the reggae beat made the song part so much better.
Nothing's wrong. This isn't a complaint.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining to the manager. I'm not being a Karen here. I'm just saying.
Poor Karens, man. My Aunt Karen had cancer and then she came out of it and everybody hates Karens now. Fuck you.
Could you imagine being a Karen that was frozen cryogenically?
Yeah. And it's so hard for
back
them.
Do you get so you have an Aunt Karen that
I have
you
two
love.
Aunt Karens that are perfect.
They're perfect.
And they're just grouped in with all these other Karens.
So are you in the camp of not really liking the whole Karen thing?
They should every woman who like was a Karen on camera should have been asked their name And then we take the median of all the names and make them that.
Oh, interesting.
You know, like, I wonder how many were actually Karens.
Interesting.
I wonder how many were like a Janus.
So, because for me, like, I've never had, I don't have a Karen in my family.
Uh-huh.
But I knew some Karens in high school that, like, were very forgettable.
Sure.
And then it turned out that, like, it just, I guess Karen just sounds like a really American name.
White
American.
Sounds like a white woman name. Yeah. But more so than Janice?
And you definitely want to be like crazy white woman stuff. Like when they're in the Walmarts and they're screaming at the managers.
Yeah.
And it's funny to be like, all right, Karen.
I think it's just we're at the point in that word where it's like, now it's like a hack word. Now if somebody says Karen, I'm like, oh, you're doing that thing.
I think yeah, because people take it and then make it something not good like anymore. Memes. Like everything.
They just memed it.
But... you know, sometimes
mean to do it.
Sometimes I'll order something on a food delivery service that I won't say.
.com.
It's food delivery app. And it'll be like, Karen is approaching with your order. And I'll just for a second go like, oh boy, she's going to complain about that box. That call box.
Dude, but even that is an entitled way of
I know. It's not fair. It's not fair.
This is what Karen's coming to deliver me fucking a Subway sandwich.
Well, it sucks. It's not fair that the name Karen is now a synonymous with someone who's annoying and wants to talk to the manager.
It's not fair.
But it's so funny because I love the idea of just like being able to like, like, okay, Karen. I don't know. There's just something. I think there's a way to do it where it's funny, but you're right. People ruined it. It's not fair.
It was funny for like 2 years.
I think it still can be. I just think we need to be careful. We need to be sparing of it.
We need to be sparing.
Welcome back to Sparing Karen.
That would be where we vindicate another
Dude,
Karen.
Dude, that's great. Sparing Karen, where we vindicate a new Karen every week.
Dude, if my aunt would be so mad at me for calling her, I would call her right now.
Mike.
My aunt Karen listens to this.
Really?
Show. Yeah.
Dude, hold on, Mike. This might be a really good idea.
It is a good idea.
Let's really workshop this into something that's not... It's like, maybe it's a segment in DB.
Uh-huh.
But man, it
if
could be...
If your name is Karen, hit us up in our email.
Thing, dude.
Which is...
dynamicbanter@gmail.com.
Yeah, and you have to send us your ID so we know that you're really...
That you're really Karen, yeah.
It can't be fucking...
Catherine or...
Connor.
Right. From
the Digital Void saying he's Karen so we can get his acid story.
right. Because he wants to be a part of this thing now. Another thing.
It's just him with a wig on?
Yeah.
I'm Karen. I'm going to Mrs.
Doubtfire us. You can't Mrs. Doubtfire us, dude.
No, dude.
Don't do it.
Hello.
Dude, I did see a really funny thing that said Kim Kardashian hires new, older.
Yeah, and it's Kanye.
And it's Kanye, the Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, that's funny.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I miss the old Kanye. The No Doubt Fire Kanye.
Anyway, so, dude. Forget everything we were talking about. Who cares? It wasn't important.
Let's
the Karens? Oh, I think the Karen show is a really good idea.
Sparing Karen.
Sparing Karen.
Yeah.
And under it, it says, a show where we vindicate the Karens of the world.
Helping one Karen
at a time. Yeah, changing the world one Karen at a time. Making the world a better place.
Or this one's fine.
Dude, because we could just... Dude, it could be like a straight up, like a call-in show.
Yeah.
And be like... You know, we'll have someone, like, if you have a mom or an aunt or, like, and that's the thing. Like, I don't think we want.
And we'll be able to tell whether you're a bad one or a good one.
Like, send in your emails and give us your pitches. Because, like, I think if your mom's name is Karen
mm-hmm.
and she's the sweetest woman or whatever, or maybe she's a piece of shit, but she is not self-aware, that's who we want. Because I want a woman that has no idea what is about to happen, what questions we're about to ask her. I want someone who we just picked out of the crowd.
Why?
I don't want someone who's going to be like a performer or like, I always ask for this because here's why.
But my Aunt Karens don't fit that.
Well, okay, since you've got your own though, you're the exception, right?
But that's the whole
point. Like,
you can
pick whoever you want, I think.
Okay.
But my...
Why is it getting more...
But my preference is like, here's my perfect Karen. Are you ready for this? One of our audience members has an aunt named Karen, not connected to Mike. And she's like, she lives alone. She's a little strange, but we love her. And she's like a cat lady. And like, and she's a little awkward. But I think she would be perfect for the Karen show, and that's what the email says. Like, that would be my perfect one, because we have it's because it's such a wild card. You have no idea if it's going to be a good segment or not. And so here's how I'm thinking the show goes. It's me and you, and we do a Zoom call with a Karen. And she calls in, and we go, all right, Karen, what's your name? And she goes, my name's Karen, this or whatever. And we go, all right. And you and I can prepare questions, and they're not easy. They're questions that their immediate answer to us, because we have to have our way of knowing if someone is really a Karen or not.
Mm-hmm. You have to vet the Karen.
We have to vet the Karen in our own special way. Yeah. And Mike, you know, dude, I was just telling a friend that Mike knows within the first 2 minutes of meeting you if he's going to like you or not.
That's correct.
And that's your way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And I think that I think you have the same instinct with a potential Karen.
Mm-hmm.
You would know within the first 2 minutes of the call whether that was a real Karen or not.
Whether she deserves to be spared.
Whether she deserves to be spared or not. And you can find out without being obvious about it, right? Uh-huh. Like, you can ask questions that you know trigger your, like, oh, that's a Karen.
Yeah.
No vindication here.
Sure.
But the goal of the show is to rehabilitate Karens, right? So if we have a bad Karen, if we have a candidate for a Karen.
See, this is where we.
Oh, really? Really? Okay.
Because I'm not trying to fix anybody.
Okay, okay.
I'm you trying to find the good Karens and be like, see, that's why we need to change it, because this is a good Karen.
So it's like,
I don't give a fuck about, like, you call the cops on a barbecue. Okay. I don't want to fix that person. That's not my responsibility. Yeah.
Should we? But you know what I would like to do? Because I think there should be a benefit to someone who is branded a vindicated Karen or a Karen.
Let's go branded.
And I think there should be a way to identify to. So, like, if the launching off part of a segment is, or the end of the segment is, we have vindicated this Karen. As we've decided from our experiences of you know, knowing people and being around people and working in retail and having all these jobs and whatever, in our expert opinions, we can vindicate this Karen.
Uh-huh.
So you can go now and say that you were vindicated. And
by
that,
who?
By, it doesn't matter.
If someone's like,
oh, you're Karen, are you a piece of shit? She can be like, no, I was vindicated. I was given a second chance.
Yeah.
And I was evaluated by.
We just give them
Spare and Karen podcast. Yeah. Dude, and
even that would suck to have to change your name to be vindicated. Because I was going to say, like, you're Mary now or whatever.
Right.
But how do we know that Marys aren't the thing next year?
Well, see, this is where I want. My thought about giving, so if we've got a candidate for a non-vindicated Karen, like a non, like, are we saying the right word? We've got a guilt, probably not. We've got a Karen, and we're like, all right, look, you know what? I'm sorry, Karen. It turns out in our estimation that you are in fact a Karen.
Yeah.
And it's like, and here's what I'll say. Can I just leave you with this piece of information? Like, Mike and I should be able to leave them with a piece of information, and that's it. And whether it's like, best of luck to you, ma'am. You sound like a citizen of the United States.
Yeah.
Good day to you. Or it's something like,
I feel like when you workshop an idea, it's supposed to get simpler and cleaner.
Yeah, yeah.
And all we've done is like, here, this is a pretty good idea. Let's dump 1,000 piles of
shit. No, this is all it is. Okay, let me simplify it and shorten it. Sparin' Karens is we bring in two Karens per episode. Okay? This is based on emails we get where we decide in the behind the scenes world that these are the two Karens we want to do on the show.
Uh-huh.
So it's two Karens. First Karen comes in, we talk to them, we evaluate them. They're either a Karen or they're validated or whatever the word is. The second Karen comes in. Either they're given a good or a bad. And if they're given a good, we go, you're good. You've been given the seal of approval from the Spare and Karen podcast. Okay. Go in peace. And if they are a Karen, we go, well, there's nothing we can do about it, but let me leave you with this piece of advice. And then that's what happens when
let me
a
leave
Karen.
You with our straight male advice.
Yes, exactly. But see, it's
already something. I feel like by the end of it, I was like, no, I'm all set.
Because
have you ever seen those fucking talk shows where they're like, it's just all feel good stuff. Like they're like, this is our football coach. Yeah. And on the weekend, he helps like underprivileged kids.
Yeah.
And he rakes the old woman's leaves across the street. But his name happens, or her name happens to be Karen. Yeah. This is a good Karen. I feel bad that everybody's shitting on Karen. Then you're allowed to like nominate that person so we could like shine a light on that.
Yeah, I like that.
That's the whole
thing. No, I love that. And I think that's what happens naturally when we find the good Karens. Mm-hmm. But we're going to find bad Karens, right?
No, because you're not nominating bad Karens.
We're never going to have bad Karens.
No, we're never having bad Karens.
Okay, so you're saying it's not a show about...
This is Sparing Karen.
Okay, all right.
This isn't like Shaming Karen.
So then it's
because that happens every day.
So okay. Because
people nominate good Karens in their life that feel bad because their
name
is
Karen. All right. Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, sure.
Simple.
That's one version of the show.
That's my version of the show.
I just thought...
And the other one has two, and they're on teams.
Okay,
and
so...
they fucking fight each other.
In my head, I was like, it's always best for us when we don't know what we're going to get. And then we just jump into it, and then natural things happen. Like, you know, when we do... The reason why History Road segment is so good, I think... is because every email is a jumping off point for you and I to do some kind of bit. And the less amount of preparation for that bit is what makes this show so...
There's no prep for the conversation.
I'm just saying I'm not against your idea. I think your idea is way better because we need more shows like that anyway.
Yeah.
But for the sake of argument, I guess I just thought that if we get an email that says, here's why my Karen is the best, we would read all of this shit, and then we don't have all of these ideas of who this person is already.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they come on the show, we'd be like, okay, well, let's talk about this. It says you donated all this shit. That's really cool. Talk about that. And I like that, but then it just becomes kind of like an interview show, and that's it. In the idea that I originally had, I was thinking, we have no information. We talk to this Karen. It's almost like a be nice or not be nice kind of.
Are you Karen or not Karen? I guess I'm just less
but it's
interested
two different
in
shows.
That because I don't want to talk to anyone shitty.
But I think that show was more in the spirit of this show in the sense that when we don't know what's going to happen, it's better.
Mm.
But in that show, it's just a feel good show that's like completely different from that show, which isn't a bad thing. I'm just saying it's a different thing.
Okay.
Guys, welcome back to the show. And, you know, and guys, you were right in the DB Labs with us.
Isn't that a bummer?
You were right in there. No, people love it. People like to go inside baseball sometimes.
Yeah.
Mike!
What?
You just did a fucking rad Netflix show, and I went to both of them.
Thank you for coming, man.
You're welcome, dude. I love supporting you when you've got really cool shit going on, and your show's really good, and I love it. I want to talk about it.
Thank you.
So how do you feel after the show?
Good. It felt like any other show for me. I was still like worried about people showing up and comedians showing up on time and stuff like that. But booked a bunch of really great people and really good friends. And I even had more booked that had to drop out at the end because Netflix came in and kind of put their name on everything and invited everybody to do like 1,000 different things.
Yeah.
So some people weren't able to be there, but they will be in the future. And it was just really fun. A bunch of fans of the show and just different things that we've done throughout the years, like flew in from all different parts of the country to come to the improv. And that was really, really nice. I felt really good about that. And Netflix put a big block with giant letters in the room. And that
yes,
was fine.
Did.
I think it took a couple seats, but that's okay. No, but it was a really fun time, and it's fun that now so many comedians in LA have the credit of being part of a Netflix thing.
That's awesome.
And it was just nice.
Right. They could put that they were part of the Netflix as a joke festival mm-hmm. on their like thing. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
And when you invite your friends to do that, your stand-up friends, like that's like giving back to them mm-hmm. in a really cool way. I like that, dude. That's yeah, awesome. Yeah. But it was a really fun show. And as an audience member, like it's if you with Mike Surrounded shows, sometimes you can come to the first show. This is a life hack, and then some maybe sneak into the second show mm-hmm. if you're lucky. There's yeah. a way to do it, but if you're able to see both shows, there it's always different, mm-hmm. and it's never. I love that it's always different. That's part of why I like it so much. Mm-hmm. But I've found that from seeing this show a few times that when I watch both shows, I'm like exhausted by the end as yeah. an audience member. Yeah, and I don't yeah. know why. Do you know why that is?
Well, you're kind of, it's not like a show where you're sitting there listening to a bunch of people's acts.
Yeah.
It's like you're kind of in a tense state the whole
right,
time.
Right, because
it's
right.
kind of exhausting.
You're right.
Like, not only is the crowd literally surrounding the performer
yeah.
in the middle of the room, but it's also like anyone could bomb at any time because there's no prepared material.
Yeah.
And so
it's nervous for everybody.
Just like on eggshells with everybody.
Right, that's a good point.
And then you find something good and there's like a release of the tension, but
yeah.
it really doesn't feel like any other show that I've ever
seen. Yeah,
been.
Same,
we
dude.
Can cut to a clip of the end of the second show if you'd like.
Yeah, let's cut to a clip.
Let's cut to a quick clip.
Did you have a good time? Yeah! Thank you to one individual. Canadians. Shakespeare on the Park. Timothy Chalamet. This is Emily. Is here. You guys, you're thinking about it. You guys are sitting at the same table now. Serial killer. You guys kind of got off easy because you're in the dark. Industry panel. All my friends back here judging me like I'm The Voice. You guys are here. You guys, intramural soccer team. 80s couple. No one said to you guys, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, got them.
You're at Netflix. This is Netflix.
That's it.
Okay. Dude.
So that's what you're missing out on.
Thank you.
Dude. And there's some more of the crowd
there's
over there.
There's more. Yeah, they came back. They came over. Is that cool? I invited them.
Yeah.
Dude.
They're staying for the third show.
That was a week later. Dude, but like, I love that because what Mike's doing there is pointing out all of the people that were there, and I like that. Do you do that at the end of every show?
No. My friend Moses Storm did it once as part of his act.
I like that as a wrap up.
And then I was like, yeah, as a because it's always awkward to end that.
Yeah, episode. You don't know how to end it.
So it's something I've done before, even in the Friends and Friends days.
Dude, that's
you
good.
You would kind of like, you know, when we were...
You'd have characters in the audience.
So there is a version of this show that is being thought about for a bigger project, we'll say. And I don't want to say too much about it because it's fucking nothing. And I'm not going to get anybody excited about it until it's something. But when you make it for a bigger audience, you kind of have to like help people through it.
Yeah.
And in order for it to be part of a broad audience, it's like a good TikTok. It's like everybody understands what's going on right away. So it gets spread around to everybody. There's not like a mystery.
It's
and
easy.
Like,
yeah.
What's happening. So part of the newer version of it is like, I kind of come out and I did this naturally anyway, but it's like you kind of reiterate the connections that we've made. So
right.
Far.
Right.
And that part is really fun.
It's good. I mean, always including the audience is like a good move. Mm-hmm. It's like makes everybody comfortable yeah. and it like...
No one feels left out.
Right. And it loosens people up, kind of. Because yeah. it's like, you know, now it's over with. You know, you're
fine for a second.
Right, right. But I love that like... When you come into that show, you know you could be a target. And it's like
right,
kind of fun.
Also, target is like...
It's
I
fun.
Feel like people think they're going to come there and get shit on.
No. It's just, it's fun. It's all fun.
Right.
Yeah. It's all in the name of fun.
Yeah. But once in a while, a comedian does go up there and just shits on everyone.
It's
and
kinda,
I always
it's
tell them not to do that because it's not.
It's hard to.
It's, well, all those people are like, if they're scared, they're not going to like laugh at any of the right. shit. They, and the, it's not like, let me come take revenge on everyone who would have made fun of me at another point.
Right, 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 right.
It's like, let's make all these people laugh in this awkward situation.
But you do put
gotta put a mix in there.
Right. It's so funny because some of my friends who have seen the show have said that, man, I could totally do that. I wish I could do that. It looks so fun. I could do it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nah.
You tell me names.
No way. No. After the show, I'll tell you.
Dude, when you're in there.
Yeah.
It doesn't go well.
It's a nightmare.
When you're on stage at open mic and everyone is sitting the regular way that society is like comfortable with. It's the worst feeling.
Oh, yeah.
That's why not everybody does it. Because, like, when you say something that you genuinely think is funny,
and
a room
laughs.
Full of, like, your peers are, like, silence.
Nose laughs.
It's a terrible, terrible feeling.
Yeah. And you gotta, like, feel that a bunch and be okay with it and recover from it in order to even think about doing the crowd work show.
And that takes years sometimes. Show. So I always think it's funny when people who like who don't do
stand up.
Yeah. It's like looking at pretty much any job, any professional person, be like, I can do that.
But that's the thing. It's
like when you go into an art museum and there's just like a yellow chair in the corner, like
right.
You know?
Right. I mean, come on. I can put a chair down.
And then you read the placard next to it, and it's like an elaborate story about how it's about like
poverty and
Dutch poverty or something like that.
In 1732.
The spotlight is placed over here for a specific reason.
For a specific reason. That's where the sun was when he died.
Which is why this makes this shadow into like a man who looks like he's like
with flowers growing out of his hand.
But you could have put the chair in the corner.
I could have done that. And that's the thing. It's and you're when you're saying like the comedian, you try to tell the comedians not to be like mean and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's so much more behind the scenes too, because when you go into the show, you tell everybody what the deal is and what they're about to see. But one thing that is kind of the number one rule of the show is no written material, right?
Uh-huh. You can't like bail yourself,
which is crazy to me because it's like I. And honestly, it's hard to tell when it might be. Because, you know,
some people sneak it in. I always yell at them after.
You gotta, dude.
No matter what.
You gotta, because, and that's what makes.
We used to do air horn sounds.
Dude, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
If I know the person well enough,
you'll do it.
Where I've seen their set a bunch of times, I absolutely will. Or I interrupt from that mic in the.
I think I heard this one last week at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, I guess what the point I'm trying to make is like when people say like, oh, I can do that. Mm-hmm. It's like there's so much more to making that work than you think.
Yeah.
And if your mind goes blank while you're in the middle of that crowd, it's like everyone's waiting on you to like make a joke. Mm-hmm. And it's like you can't use your written material. It's like a challenge, dude. Mm-hmm. It's like you're putting them through almost like a wrestling match in a way.
Yeah.
Like, and it's funny that it is like a wrestling ring in a way, because it's like you have them, they're doing more work than they normally do. Mm-hmm.
And I like it because it's like a team effort. And I always also tell people that it's like if a comedian is real nervous about it, I'm like, it's way more about listening than it is about making jokes. Like I book people because I've seen them be funny either in conversation or on stage in a crowd works and like quick.
So
I'm like, you're already funny. Right. All you have to do is like listen to people and you're going to come up with a funny response.
Right.
But it's definitely like even some of the best comedians that I've had on there didn't do super.
Yeah.
Funny. So you really never know.
Yeah. And some people fucking kill it, dude.
Yeah.
And the crowd is on their side like right away. Yeah. And you're like, holy shit, that's good.
Pete Lee specifically destroyed every show when we did it.
No way. Like everyone.
So
that's crazy.
Funny. So funny. Like how
Erica Rhodes
killed
it in your show, dude.
Just the sweetest human being.
She's so funny because she, the things that comes out of her mouth is like you're not expecting it because she's just sweet little 80s commercial teen. That's like, buy these stickers, please.
But she's also, like most comedians, she's been through some shit.
Oh, yeah.
So she has that bite to her.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to be that good, I think. Yeah. But anyway, man, it was so cool, and I just wanted to talk about it a little bit.
Thanks,
and
man. Thank
say
you for
that
having me.
I'm proud of you, man. That's so cool.
Hey, thanks, Dar.
At one point, I just want to answer a quick answer. You know, you don't have to go into it. But at one point,
one Karen per episode.
One Karen per episode. Just one. All right, that's fine. I'm in. I get it. At one point, one of the comedians said, man, I went to the Netflix party or something, and like, and that was tight. And then you went up and you were like, I didn't get to go to the Netflix party.
Yeah.
And when that happened, there was a woman sitting next to me who pulled out a phone and started to like frantically message someone. And I was like, man, is that a person that's like making sure you get invited to other things?
No.
Did you get any emails after that
at all?
Damn.
No.
I really thought someone was going to take care of you in
so
that moment.
Here's how this city works.
Yeah, man.
If you get a manager or an agent, they know other people who wear fancy clothes, who set up events.
Yeah.
So they make sure you're on lists to do stuff.
Yeah.
When you're a comedian, like a self-employed comedian that does all their shit themselves, with the help of just people that like, you know, like people like Ryan and Lee and stuff like that, and Kevin, and people that like I employ, but I don't have that.
Right.
So I got invited by the booker of the improv on one of the first days the festival was announced, because they love having that show in the building and they wanted the show to be part of the festival.
Right.
So it's my show.
But
so
they
I'm part of the festival.
They have the keys to the
I'm not like, I don't get, it wasn't like at Moon Tower.
Yeah.
I didn't get like a badge saying you get to go everywhere. They're like, your show has to be, like my show would have gotten a badge. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
But they probably have your email now. Like people have your info and shit, like at Netflix or something.
Yeah, but it's I don't think anyone from Netflix is going to hit me up. Mm-hmm. I got hit up by a couple of journalists that were there. That's like, we want to talk about how your show is different. And I'll do that.
That's
but
cool.
I don't think anyone at, I think,
cause it was
unfortunately the way it works. Well, fortunately for some people, I suppose, but unfortunately for me, it's like, then they hit up your manager at CAA or your fucking
right,
they're like, how can we get in the room with these people? And it's a different conversation.
right. You know? And it's gross.
Yeah. And you have like people following up and you're on lists and stuff like that. And like, let's pick from this list to see who, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just like me all the time.
Right.
And I don't have anyone like,
you're not pursuing that really. Yeah.
Well, it's like, I'm pursuing it in a way that I keep my head down and I try to be, in all honesty, dude, I'm trying to be like undeniably good.
Yeah.
And it's paying off in certain ways. And like, even, we won't talk about this for very long, but even at the, I got put up in the original room at the Comedy Store the other night on a Monday. And that to me is like way better than getting into any of those parties. And also
totally.
I was thinking, and I'm very thankful for that. And, I was thinking about how since like, man, I'm not going to know the year, but like 2012 or whatever, we've been going to these like Playlist Live and VidCon parties.
Stupid shit, yeah.
And the older that I get, and it would be a different crowd, and hanging out with comedians is way different than hanging out with YouTube people. But I went to a lot of parties where I'm like, we're just here to like say that we were here.
Yep.
And you have your fucking wristband and you go out of the party and people are like, can I have your wristband?
Yep.
And I'm not about that.
No, it's gross.
And not to say that the Netflix shit was like that, because I have no point of reference. I don't know what those parties were.
Yeah.
But I know what they're kind of like, and I know that I've been having a great time without those. So
totally.
Would it be nice? Yeah. Do I need it? Absolutely not.
The way I looked at those parties are a little bit different than the ones like, if I had been invited, if this was my show in a Netflix festival, and I got invited to a Netflix festival party, the way I would utilize that opportunity would be to be like, well, I'm invited here because my show is a part of this thing. And like, technically I'm kind of, these are colleagues now, right? Like, yeah. Because that's your show, you put it together. It was good enough for the club to be like, this show is good to be in a Netflix festival. So it's like, obviously you've earned it, right? Mm. So it's like, and I felt the same way at like the VidCon ones. Like I could go up to someone. Like, I'll never forget when Joe was, like, the first year I ever went to a VidCon, because Joe already knew the YouTube world and I didn't. I'll never forget that he was, like, introducing me. Like, he was just pointing out the big fucking YouTube stars, yeah. And they were all just, like, hanging out with us.
That's Lisa Nova.
Right? That's Lisa Nova.
That's Renetto.
That's Boxy right there, man. That's her. That's an underappreciated girlfriend. Remember that one?
That's over there in the corner. Those are Mentos, and that's a bottle of Diet Coke.
Dude, double rainbow guy right there, and the kid who was angry at his dad right there. Whoa, that's the kid who's angry at his dad?
That's Charlie, and that's Charlie's finger.
There's Charlie's finger. There's the N64 that kid ripped open for Christmas. Doing coke.
Holy shit.
Yeah, with Toby Turner.
Rails of coke in the bathroom.
But oh like, my good but God. So, but I remember him pointing them out, and I remember thinking, well, these people are like colleagues now. I mean, at the time I had just started and I didn't really feel like I had earned it, but that's why I kind of stayed away. But once I kind of built my thing up, I felt like I could just go up to anybody and be like, look, I'm a big fan of your work. Mm-hmm. Like, I love your shit. Like, I think you're really funny. And they'd be like, well, either they'd say the same thing or they'd be like, I don't know who you are.
Or they'd be like, yeah.
Or yeah, whatever. But I felt like it was a good opportunity to actually network.
It's a networking thing.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's not like that, because it's like, I don't know who you fucking people are. I don't know what it's like there,
but it's like Netflix party would be a good networking
thing.
That's
what I'm saying.
It's where like the industry people are and all the agents and stuff like that, and they meet people and you're introduced to people.
Exactly.
You got to check this out. And people get work, especially in LA, you get work and you get booked if people book who's in front of them. Mm-hmm. So if they see you at stuff, they're like, oh,
exactly.
You're here. You must be worthy of like being on my show.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Like I got to do, my friend Cousteau invited me to do that golf tournament.
Yeah, what
and
was
so
that?
I was just—it was fucking awesome, dude. It was.
It was a Netflix.
El Caballero.
Bless you.
No, what's it called? Country Club. I'm so poor, I forget what they're called sometimes. But we all got to go play golf in like a celebrity tournament
at
a country club. And like fucking Bill Burr was there and he made fun of me for a second.
What did he say?
I missed a putt on the practice screen. He goes, I would have made that. And it was really funny. And I was just outside. I got to play golf all day with another actor and obviously my friend Cousteau, who does like sneaker videos. Mm-hmm. He was also the music teacher who taught fucking Tyler, the Creator, about like how to use GarageBand and shit.
What
like
the fuck?
He's just the coolest fucking dude. If you like sneakers, go look up Cousteau.
Damn, that's awesome.
And this this girl Charlotte, who is a writer for ESPN. So I got to do cool things. I got to like, I was never good at networking.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'll get really good and the right people will see me. And the older that I get, I'm just like, whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen. You know what's interesting is, and I guess I don't advise this all the time. It's just like a following your, the moral of the story I'm about to tell is just like follow your gut.
Yeah.
You know? And don't be afraid to take chances, but also follow your gut. So I was at the Comedy Store and we were hanging out by, in the back by the belly room. Mm-hmm. And a friend comes out and he's like, so-and-so is running the show tonight. Just tell him that you're there and that you're willing to go up or whatever. I said, I'll go in and introduce myself in a second. I'm not going to like barge in there. I'm going to do it, you know, on my time. And he said to, you know, it was more elaborate than that. And I was like, dude, I'm just going to like, let it be. I'm going to do it my own way and whatever. My friend left. And then the guy who was running the show comes out and was like looking around, made sure all the door guys went up. And he was like Falzone, just like hang out. If you're going to be here, hang out for a second.
Shit.
All the door guys go up. And I was the last person to go up on the door guy show before they start the regular show. And it was because he came back out and he was like, all right, now it's your time. And I was like, first, I knew I'm not a pushy person, which is why I'm bad at like networking and stuff like that. I'm like, you'll know who I am because I would have done, you would either heard about me or I would have done well in front of you at some point. And if you know I'm here, you know, I'll do a good job. Come out and get me if you need me. You know what I mean?
Damn.
So I'll make you aware that I'm in the general proximity of where this is happening. Yeah. And if you need me in that spot, you know, I'm good for that.
Wow.
Spot. But that has taken 9 years,
but they know that now.
Yeah.
Which because is that, like, was your way of doing it.
Yeah.
I wonder if they appreciated that. They probably appreciated it more.
And I appreciate it because, like, for the first, like, 5-6 years of being here, I was super intimidated by that place. And I felt like I didn't belong. And eventually I was like, I just don't. It's just not my style to be here. You got to be a certain style of whatever to be here. And now, after, like, 5 more years since that, it's like, why not, dude? I see these people, because now all the regulars are like peers and people who are kind of my age and people who I've been on shows with and done well with and like am friendly with. And so I think everything just happens when it's supposed to happen sometimes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you shouldn't put yourself out there.
You don't like
put
to yourself force in like things.
Uncomfortable situations to take chances. Yeah. I'm a big believer in that.
Yeah.
But like now that I'm confident in my like ability and stuff like that, I'm like, I'll do what I'm comfortable with.
And I think that with that comes that idea that, like, if you want to do something, you got to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're not going to push it on someone else. You're going to be like, if I want to make a show where I'm surrounded by the audience and my friends are surrounded by the audience and we make fun of them or it's all crowd work.
Right.
Then I need to make it myself. No one else is. I can't go up to a promoter or a club and be like, do you want to do this show? It's like, I have a show and I'm ready.
Right. And I tried to get the reputation of the show to the point where people want to come see the show and they don't care who's on it.
Yeah.
Because the show is so cool.
Right.
And that's nothing that anybody else is going to like help me with.
Yeah.
That's just like, I have to make sure that it's great, that I book the right people. Or even if you want to get in with a group of people or a space or a building, a vouch is a very powerful thing. And you got to be really good for someone to put their reputation on the line to vouch for you. So the only way I could have done that is for the past 12 years trying to get as good as possible. And that's the keeping your head down and trying to like get undeniably good so that if you do get invited to a place off a vouch is because somebody's like, oh, that dude's been working for, or that girl or whatever, whoever.
Right.
Has been working for so long that they it's time that they like belong at least around.
Yeah. Got to put their dues in.
It's a lot. Think you're exhausted, like listening to two shows. Imagine like,
I know,
not that this, you know, I'm not saying it's such a,
it's just a lot. It's a lot.
It's not a bad lifestyle,
just like everything,
but it's a very weird job to like want to make the rest of your life. And there's so much bullshit and crazy shit that you would never have to worry about at a 9-to-5.
Right.
And that's what makes it unattractive to the majority of people. And I understand that.
But what makes that and acting and all the entertainment stuff attractive is that people who are really good at it make it look easy.
Yeah.
But the truth is that the people that are really good at it and make it look easy made it their entire life's work.
Yeah.
And that's like not nothing.
Right.
It's just like anything else, and a professional basketball player, anything.
Right.
They put the work in. You can't just be a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with comedians, same thing with actor, all that shit.
Yeah. You can't just be a comedy player. You got to be tall.
Mm-mm. Well, guys, thanks for listening to Sparin Karens. What a show today, huh? I think we, But guys, let's get to the, let's do the ads, huh?
Yeah.
How about we listen? I know Neil Ghosh made us some really cool music, but I'm feeling the vibe with this one right now, and I'm not saying fuck you to Neil Ghosh.
I just want to say, since you're saying fuck you to Neil Ghosh,
I'm not saying fuck
you're
you
actively
Neil
hurting
Ghosh.
The comedy community.
I'm not saying. You are now an enemy of the comedy community.
Neil, how do I do a different drum beat?
You trying to make a bad friend here? You're trying to make someone feel bad? No. Guys, listen. Huh? All right? Yeah. And. I want to thank HeadGum. I want to thank our sponsors. I want to thank you, our listening audience, for checking out the sponsors, helping out the show. The easiest way to help out the show is to use these promo codes and check out these links with the Dynamic Banter stuffs. All of our brands that we promote have a special code for you to use, and when you use it, even if it's to go check out the site using the web address, it helps us out.
Use the code. Check out the site.
Check out the site. Hey, look, it's kind of tight.
Check out the site.
It's kind of tight.
Use the code.
Don't be a chode. Guys, Squarespace. Let's talk about Squarespace. Now, look. Squarespace is maybe one of the most powerful web design, web tools. 100%. It's a all-in-one platform to help you build a beautiful online presence and run your business. Guys, it's just, you know. Come on.
You know.
Sell stuff, feature stuff, picture stuff.
Feet stuff.
Foot stuff. Butt stuff. E-commerce. Now, what's that? Well, it's commerce with an E in front of it. An E means electronic. And electronic means the internet. The digital void. But e-commerce is how you sell your products, your wares, your services on your Squarespace website. Easy peasy. Lemon squeezy! Mike Falzone has a Squarespace website, MikeFalzone.com.
You're 100% right, and that's where you can find all my tour dates, and I was literally updating it as we were starting the show, and that's how easy it is, because I'm a big uh-oh in my brain, and I can do it, which means you can do it, and I have no doubt. Use the code.
God bless you, my brother in Christ, and also, I want to say God bless Squarespace. And if you go to squarespace.com,
use the code
for that free trial. And when you're like, oh yeah, I want to launch this website, you go to squarespace.com/banter, and you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/banter when you're ready to launch that site and get 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. You're gonna really like it. They bring in the marketing firm. All right, you guys had a few good months to like really knock it out of the park. They're all dressed in like their nice suits.
Yeah, beautiful
and stuff.
Suits and dresses.
Real nice suits.
Okay, what do you think about this? And they got a whole presentation.
Yeah, they pull the card down. Squarespace, you're gonna really love it. I mean, I'm crying. I don't know about you guys.
In these unprecedented times, you're going to really like
it. Oh, my God. We could save the world with this campaign. Squeezing a stress ball.
Use the code. Squeeze the ball. Squeeze it.
Feeling pressure? Squeeze the ball. Hey, are you feeling pressure? Why don't you squeeze the ball? We call feels.
Squeeze the ball.
We call feels. Feels is a better way to feel better because their premium CBD will keep your head clear and help you feel your best. You know what I like to do when I'm taking a little CBD, my friend Mike? I like to squeeze the ball.
You like to squeeze the ball?
Because it takes my stress away. It puts it into the ball.
It's not about what you feel. It's about what you don't feel with feels.
Look, navigating the world of CBD can be confusing, complicated, scary, exciting, erotic.
Squeeze the ball.
At Feels, we look to make the process as simple as possible. Ooh-wee. Thank you. I would love to be a part of this. You can start feeling better sooner, guys. And if you're new to CBD, Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide you through the discovery process. And look, what is Feels? Well, it's premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. That's it. And what does it do? It's a natural way to help reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. Are those things that are ruining your life? Making things harder for you? I'll tell you, CBD is the way to go. And if you're new to CBD, there's that free CBD hotline we were talking about. It helps to guide your personal experience. And if you join the Feels community, you get Feels delivered to your door every single month. You're going to save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel any time. Mike and I use CBD product, the Feels, and it's real good. It feels nice when you're stressed out, you have a headache. No, I haven't tried the mints.
Mints are very nice.
I need to open the new box.
Tincture is very nice.
Ooh, love a little tincture. And here's the deal, all right? And then you know, and we're never gonna give you guys this without a deal.
And that's our promise.
I use it when I need to be sleepy. I use it when I got a headache. I use it kind of when I, you know, when I'd pop an aspirin instead, do a little CBD. Ooh, so guys, go to feels.com/banter. That's feels.com/banter. That's feels.com/banter. You're going to get 50% off your first order with free shipping when you do that. And you're going to become a member. You're going to get those feels in the meals and the mails and the feels, and you're going to love it all over your body. Go to feels.com/banter, get 50% off your first order, and listen, never be in the dark about CBD with that hotline, and listen, me and Mike are here to say that this baby's is good loving.
Squeeze the ball. Squeeze the ball.
Staring into the camera. You're not even saying it. Ooh! Dude, I get excited. I get excited every single time. I lose my mind, and sometimes I go a little nuts when I think about MeUndies, Mike.
That was a ramp up to an ad.
I know, man. I'll tell you. I lose my mind. I go crazy. I go bonkers.
Every time the thing comes in the mail, it's like a little birthday for me.
Dude, I'm running to the mail. I'll tell you. I'll run to the dang mail. I am running to the mailbox.
Basically running to the mailbox.
Here's the deal. I'm basically running to the mailbox.
He's the ball.
I'll run to the mailbox. I know we got me. I am running, running, and running. I will run and run for days. I'll never stop running, Dad. My dad told me to run when you're playing soccer, son. You know those days when your coffee shop is out of cold brew and your air conditioner breaks and you try to go to the beach but there's zero parking spots, too many humans? Yeah. Yes. Life can be
hard.
Thank
you for shedding a little bit of light on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Someone's got to talk about it. Well, it's a good thing. It is a good thing that MeUndies is here to help you take a dang break from the hardships of the world. Give yourself a soft
summer. The sand is too hot at the beach.
When you're cocooned in the softest and most breathable undies, and you will be cocooned. Loungewear and swimwear. I woke up in a cocoon, Mike, and I was scared at first.
That means your prince is going to become a beautiful butterfly.
I put on the MeUndies, and the underwear enveloped my entire body while I was sleeping like a cocoon. When I came out, I was a beautiful butterfly, ready for the day. But they are the most breathable undies, loungewear, swimwear known to humanity, and all humanity, and all your problems will simply melt away. For example, just like that. Hey, here's the deal. How about this? Are you planning on relaxing to the max while staying cool this summer, Mike?
Yeah.
Because let's face it, the summer is sweaty. Hey, but your butt doesn't have to be. With MeUndies light and breathable micromodal fabric, you can squeeze the ball, and you can stay comfy and cool all summer long. They have super fun seasonal prints and tons of styles to choose from in sizes extra small to 4XL, so you can bring the beach to your butt without ever leaving your living room.
When like a marionette runs away.
So, if you dare to brave that dang heat and venture to the pool or beach, why don't you check out their new improved swimwear styles? They're soft, stretchy, sustainably made, man. And man, you make it a soft summer. You can make it a soft summer.
You hear what I said?
With MeUndies, a soft summer. And MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. Any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off. If you sign up for their free join membership, you can apply that 15% off to their already discounted membership prices. And I'll tell you, you get 15. And how about? And I'll tell you, you get 15% off.
You gotta do it.
So guys,
you gotta do it.
To get 15% off your first order and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/banter. That's MeUndies.com/banter, and you'll get it. That's MeUndies.com/banter, and you'll get 15% off your first order at MeUndies.com/MeUndies. You're gonna love the underwear.
Okay, we got another one. We got one.
Every
more
single
idea.
One says you're gonna love it, but it's kind of in a different way.
Yeah.
Can we see what else you guys are working on? We'll sign NDAs.
Yeah.
Give me
a second.
Yeah. Hello, Fresh. You're gonna love the freshness. Yeah, seems like you guys are really
sweating profusely. Giant sweat stains on the suit.
The blue buttoned up $2,000 shirt. Yeah. All right, where are we at?
Let's do history robes.
You gonna get in there, dude?
Let's play history.
Mike,
I found a long.
Mike, are you feeling that you're gonna that we're gonna get in it, dude?
Scabbing and bone history boys. History boys.
Welcome to the History Road.
It's the Hep guy. We can't do one with lyrics, man. It's going to drive me crazy. Or it needs to be down so much.
We'll keep it down so much.
Because my
that?
Brain doesn't work like that. It's making my head hurt. Oh, honey.
I feel like it all kind of has. Guys, this History Road is from
pull down your pants and spin them around. Slap them on the butt and walk them downtown. See everybody in the downtown square.
Wow, Mike.
In your underwear.
We're eligible. Dynamic Banter is eligible for Super Thanks on our YouTube.
What does that mean?
You now have access to Super Thanks, a new monetization feature that allows fans to show their support for you.
I would super thanks you guys if you went to YouTube to watch all the hard work that Ryan puts into the video.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's easy to use. You can turn it on with just one click, and it will appear across all eligible uploads. Viewers can purchase a Super Thanks
on a
video to show their appreciation, then post a colorful comment.
You don't have to do that. If you want to thank us, you don't have to go through any kind of third party. You could just buy a t-shirt, or you can come to one of our shows, or you could listen to the show. Or when we post clips, you can share the clips to your story. Dude, sharing them bumps them up in the algorithm so much. So if you love this show and you wish more people heard it, share the clips that Leah and Ryan work so hard on, and you don't have to do a super bibbity boppity thanks or go on TikTok and give us pounds of banana or apple or flowers or whatever the fuck little things that are meaningless, trash, meaningless gifts. You can just support us in so many different other ways. So many other ways that would make a difference.
Yeah, but remember someone sent us the songbook, the song bag? That was a good one.
No, that's not like a YouTube super.
No,
life.
No.
That's
no,
like
no,
a
no,
book
no,
that we
not.
Could hold.
That's true. That's true. I love YouTube. Aaron Adams sends a short history road for Steve. Hello, Mike and Steve. My name is Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Please put my full legal name in the video description.
I haven't heard that one before.
That's anyway, nice. I have a short history road similar to a nice or not be nice that I thought of recently. You may already be familiar, but a video recently surfaced of Dave Chappelle getting attacked by someone on stage while at the Hollywood Bowl.
Haven't heard about it.
After getting attacked, Chappelle's first reaction was, thank God that blank was clumsy. Uh-huh. This was a fun way to relieve the tension after what happened, and it got me thinking, how would Mike respond if this happened to him? So Mike and Steve, if you got attacked on stage like Dave Chappelle, what is the first joke you would crack after it happened? I think it would be fun to throw out a classic, now that's New York, but I'm not a comedian. Mm-hmm. Thank you, boys, for everything you do. I hope this email wasn't too much, as Mike says. I'm a first-time, long-time, two-horn born boy. And all that I look forward to your piss cast every week. Steve, I look forward to more streams. And Mike, please come to Des Moines soon. Have a great day, boys.
Des Moines, Iowa. I've been there before. I remember having a good time in Des Moines.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like that.
That's it. That's the only story I have. One time I had a good time in Des Moines.
You know, I can't say for sure what I would do if someone tried to attack me. I'd be like, I think you got the wrong guy.
I would put a microphone through their jaw. Is what I would do. Is what I would just swing as hard as I possibly could.
I'd be like, let's hear what your lunch sounds like. Just shove the mic down into their
I just feel like I'm
throat.
Not the type of comedian that people would rush the stage for. Because I try to... I don't know. You never know. But hopefully... It's just so weird that it's even a thing. Because that person's just there to... Make sure everybody in the room laughs and has a good time. And it's the most polar opposite reaction that you're supposed to have. Just, I think sometimes you get too famous and too rich, and then sometimes famous actors go on TV and think that they can do it because they were the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Which president got a shoe thrown at them? Was it Bush?
Most of them, I think. Yeah, but Bush, when he would like duck it immediately.
So
that's good. That's playing sports when you're younger.
I think that's the only time... an audience member has done something violent to a speaker that I thought was kind of funny.
What, the shoe?
The shoe.
That's like
everything
a specific
else,
thing for that culture.
Right.
It's like I forget which country he was in when that happened, but that's like a...
That's something they do
over
there?
It's like hissing at a tennis match.
Throwing a shoe is like the biggest insult you could do to someone.
You know how you throw tomatoes? They didn't have any tomatoes, but he did.
Because they eat those.
They eat the
shoes. You can't throw things you eat. You can't throw something you're not gonna eat.
So disrespectful to waste food like that. Until I met a man who had no feet.
But that was funny when they threw the shoe. I thought that was funny. But it's
such a privileged thing to throw a shoe.
Right. I know. Right. It's like, damn, someone can afford shoes.
Yeah. Loud.
Mary sends a history road saying, "I used your live show as exposure therapy for my OCD."
Whoa.
And a Lee Poo story.
Double whammy.
Hello to my favorite BB boys. I'm a 26-year-old one honk summer girl from New York City. And I've had some manifestation of obsessive compulsive disorder since I was a leal 4-year-old girl. Oh. As an adult... it's been mostly related to germs and contamination. So as you can imagine, the pandemic has been an absolute fucking hell of a time.
Amen.
You funny boys have helped dull the pain during the pandemic and prior, and when you announced that you were coming to New York City last year, I freaked out and immediately bought tickets for me and my boyfriend, humble brag.
We were the couple in the bubble in the back.
That's who you were. We kept asking.
We couldn't place it.
I was still having lots of anxiety about being out of my apartment.
Jackpot.
And in big groups with COVID. So my therapist and I worked on using your show as a first step for returning to real life. Dude, that's pretty tight.
Oh, no.
I love that.
I'm starting to think we have more responsibility than
we think
planned.
We do. Yeah. I went wearing my open oys, close oys pants and had an amazing time. And now you can say your show has been used for OCD treatment.
That's tight. And shout out Faith one more time for designing them pants.
Absolutely. And
that's great.
Here's the short poo history, Rose.
She's like, I shit myself because I wasn't ready for it. I had kind of a bad time.
I wasn't ready. And that's on me. Short hit poo history road. When I was an unborn baby living it up in my mom's womb,
I don't give a fuck.
I swallowed some poo.
Jackpot.
And had to be whisked away to the ICU. Excuse me?
Wait, what? When you were an unborn baby in your mom's womb.
She ate poop in her mom. She ate her mom's poop.
How?
When I finally arrived via C-section 10 days past my due date, for years and years, my mom and I wondered whose poo it was. What the fuck? Until one day I finally realized it was mine. Oh, because it's like, was it mom's poo or my poo? Whose poo are you eating in the womb? Whose womb poo is this?
I can't believe I'm even looking this up.
And she says, because how the hell would my mom's poo have gotten into her own womb?
Yes.
Because I was the healthiest.
Unless your mom's freaky as fuck.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Because I was the healthiest and biggest baby in an ICU full of premature babies. Because
you're eating everything in sight.
The nurses used me as a model to show the new moms how to wash their baby's hair. What?
Is this 10 different stories in once?
One mom burst into tears and cried, "Why doesn't my baby look like that?" Because I didn't have a squished head from regular delivery. Oh, she had a C-section.
C-section. Hell yeah. Shout out C-section one time.
She had to be taken away from the shampoo demo because she was inconsolable about how ugly her baby was compared to me.
Dude, sometimes they come out and they look 35. It's like, what, did you get fired from a job in there? Dude, so here's what I found.
She was an unborn
Meconium
baby.
Meconium is the earliest stool that your infant produces, sometimes in the womb. It's possible for them to inhale meconium shortly after birth. This is called aspiration. This can cause an infection in their lungs or lung inflammation.
That ain't good, dude. Pink lungs.
Dude, so we're talking poop in the womb.
Dude, so funny that there is
I knew about
the
meconium.
Newest type of poop is called meconium.
Dude, new poop just dropped. Dude, no. Meconium is something I've known about for a while.
Why?
And it's funny because it's poop.
Meconium.
Yeah, dude. And whenever someone tells me they're pregnant or they just had their baby or whatever, I bring up meconium. And they go, how the fuck do you know about meconium? Because, you know,
how
when you're...
do you know about meconium?
Because it's poop.
So just because it's poop, you know about it?
Yeah, man.
You know about all different types of poop?
Yeah. Ask me about it.
I don't get that.
Did you know poop can come out of your mouth?
No, that's impossible.
Meconium.
Meconium. Siri saying meconium.
What other types of poop do you know about?
I mean, there's diarrhea. I mean, meconium is... Because, like, when you are a gross person and you think about poop and cum and the things your body makes and you make shows about those things, you sometimes, when you're high or maybe when you're not high or about to go to bed, you think...
Who's you in this scenario?
you never been in bed and
when
like
you say you, who do you mean really?
Have you ever been in bed and you're loopy and you're thinking dumb thoughts and you're like, hey, who invented the vacuum cleaner? Like, you ever say that to someone and just go like, who invented ice cream? You think about shit like that and you just Google it. I want to learn about who the fuck invented ice cream real quick. And sometimes you go like,
no, that's impossible. You don't know about all types of That's what's going on in my
head. It's echoes of a conversation that happened an hour ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then when you're a gross boy and you're thinking of poop things and funny jokes, you're like, I wonder what the first poop. I wonder if there's something special about your first poop.
And that's what you put into the Google search
bar. And that's when you find you end up finding something like meconium. And you're like,
hey, Jeeves, what was special about my first
poop? Is there any, because you know, you've never thought about like if there's something special, like if there's anything worth noting about your first poop.
No.
It's just something I thought of at some point. And then, and I guess the only other people that think about these things are doctors and expectant or new parents.
Yeah. I guess do babies poop in the womb is an interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And apparently meconium is like a
the thing that killed Superman.
Right. Right. It's the stuff they're looking for in Avatar in the ground. Dude, no, but like it's like black, like tar almost. Cause it's not like that's, they haven't been eating food. They've been getting nutrients.
Yeah.
From their mom, and they haven't been digesting any. I mean, they've been digesting things.
It's already like secondhand.
Yeah,
so that's third hand poop.
Yeah, kind of.
Third hand poop is that Paul Newman when he eats the eggs.
All right,
and he's the dirty eggs. And
let's do like a couple more since we only did like two. Spencer sends an email saying, I think Mike Falzone is avoiding me.
Chances are,
it's true. This is a serious message.
Dude, this could have been 25 people in my life right now.
This is a serious message.
For world famous comedian Mike Falzone.
Please.
Here's the situation. A little bird told me that Mike Falzone is coming to play a show in Nebraska this month of May.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Please.
Please. The same bird told me that he's playing a show in Oregon next month in June.
Yes.
Please.
I currently, in May 2022, live in Oregon and am moving to Nebraska in June.
Whoa, what the fuck?
Whoa. Thus, my logical conclusion is that Mr. Mike Falzone is actively avoiding me.
Please.
Maybe it was because of the awkward conversation we had after his last Portland show.
I'm warning you with...
Sorry, Mike, I had too much edible beforehand.
Dude, what an appropriate bit of the soundboard to use during this conversation.
Right? Peace and love?
Peace and love. Please, no more.
No more fan mail.
The boy who missed Mike. P.S. Steve, I'm also aware that you are one half of Dynamic Banter. Thank you for choosing to read this serious message.
Peace and love.
Peas and love.
So this guy is going to miss both of your shows.
Yeah.
And he lives in Nebraska.
What, he knows how to get to both of them.
And he's moving to Oregon. And yeah. So the Oregon show is happening while he's when he moves to Nebraska. And the Nebraska show is when he's moving to Oregon.
Yeah, right now I have Lincoln, Nebraska on May 22nd. Just a Sunday. Ooh, excuse me. And there's going to be another one in Omaha, I think, the day before or the day after.
In middle America.
Omaha. And that guy has disassociative whatever.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Yeah. Anyway, June 16th, which is a Thursday, that's when I'll be at the Infinity Room in Salem, Oregon, avoiding this person. Specifically. So leave me alone. Everyone.
Everyone leave him the fuck alone. Shlana. Let's do one more here. Shlana. This person's real name is Shlana.
I feel like this is a person trying to... with a mustache on. This person with kind of a goofy disguise.
The subject is, yeah, I was right. Hi there. I was at work recently at the Chicago Architecture Center when this lady came up to me and said, pardon me, I have a question about the information on the panels over here.
No, that's impossible. You know about meconium.
It's like in Interstellar. Have you ever seen Interstellar?
Yeah, where...
And he's floating in that room and he can hear all the conversations his daughter's having in her room.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all about meconium.
I said, okay. She said, I think there's a typo, but could you come tell me? As we cross the whole lobby, she won't shut up about how this is a reputable institution, so she would be surprised to see a mistake in an exhibit.
Where is this?
In Chicago Architecture Center. Right, got it. She marches me up to the panel in question. Shouldn't it say breathes new life into the city, not breaths new life into the city?
This is a patron?
Yeah. I say yes and immediately turn to walk away because I couldn't stand the stench of her superiority complex. But before I can go, she says, "So it's spelled wrong?" I mumble yes over my shoulder, and this woman replies, "Yeah, I knew it was." She said, "I immediately thought of you and laughed out loud." So she's probably drafting a scathing Yelp review about the box office staff.
Yeah,
I do that. Anyway, happy spring, and please do not call me. I'll be at rehearsals for Shout, the mod musical in Arlington Heights, Illinois. Ooh, shout out from Shalana.
good promo.
Dude, that's so funny.
That is funny. What a great history run.
I love that she says, I think there's a typo, but could you come tell me?
Yeah.
She really wanted, yeah, I was right.
And I was. Some people need it.
All right. Mike, what a show, man. Dude, I keep wanting to talk about my fucking blackout curtains.
Talk about them.
I keep wanting to make a thing about it because, man, I got blackout curtains in my bedroom. I just decided to bite the bullet.
Yeah.
Which you don't recommend doing. You can eat our merchandise and digest it, but don't bite the bullet.
Don't bite bullets.
And squeeze the ball, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Talking about, this is your history run. This is your time.
Dude, I got blackout curtains and I like, it's a game changer.
So it's like you live in a hotel?
Yeah, man. And it's like, I don't need to know what fucking time it is.
Yeah.
And look, I'll still set my alarm and it'll wake me up and it's always jarring.
You live in a casino now.
I definitely live in a casino.
Nerdy casino.
There's no clocks in my bedroom. Uh-huh. There's no TV and there's no light. And
there's oxygen being pumped into
the barely. I'm breathing O2 in there.
Yeah.
That is oxygen. I'm breathing CO2.
You just got to make sure you don't fuck up your clock, dog.
Dude, so I'm setting alarms, so I'm being careful.
Mm-hmm.
But man, those weekends where I don't have to wake up, I like wake up and it's like, oh, fuck, it feels like 3 a.m. in here.
Mm-hmm.
I must be lonely. Guys, thanks for listening to today's show. Mike, I'm so proud of you with your Netflix shows, man. I hope many, many more happen.
Thanks, man.
So what are the shows happening soon, man?
Yes.
The ones we just talked about in History Road. Something's happening in...
Yes. So May 22nd at the Storm Cellar in Lincoln, Nebraska. And there's one more happening either the day before or day after that I'll have up. June 16th is Salem, Oregon. And then June 3rd, which is a Friday, are the next two Surrounded shows at the Hollywood Improv. And I'll be a million places in between there. I usually put them up in the stories, so follow me on Instagram and look at my stories.
Dude, I'm going to run to those shows, and we're really proud of it.
Also, spent a lot of yesterday going back and forth with Byron about... fun things coming out for you guys.
Ooh.
And I have to go right back to working on that as soon as this ends.
Guys, actually, can we let this man get back to work for God's sakes?
Can we stop doing the show so I can get back to work?
Let's stop the show so this man can get back to work.
But I promise we're
no more
making,
fucking around.
I think we're making stuff that you guys are going to want real bad. And
yeah.
I'm very excited about it. And I'm excited to share in that with you. Nothing better than, dude, you grow up wanting to make stuff and then you make stuff that people get excited about. Hopefully, and it feels real good. So thank you for being on this team effort of a podcast and a giant mess. And please continue to share those clips with your friends because everyone who works on them works real hard. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, man, that was beautiful. That's a great outro, buddy. All right, well, nothing else to say. Thanks for listening, guys.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.